In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
"And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger."
You don't see angels every day, do you? When did you last see an angel? I'm guessing you can go through a whole year and not see a single angel. But you're bound to see angels at Christmas. There are angels in street decorations, and angels on Christmas trees, and angels on cards. They seem to be everywhere. Angels and Christmas somehow seem to go together. Why should that be? Well, I think that's because it was at Christmas that God did something extraordinary. It was at Christmas that God did something unique, something that we men and women simply couldn't figure out or understand without some supernatural help. Angel means messenger. Angels are messengers from God sent to this earth to explain to us what God is up to reveal to us what God is really doing. Now, I want to ask you a question this evening. Here it is. Do you believe the Christmas story? Do you believe it, that the Son of God, God the Son, came to this world as a man 2,000 years ago? Do you believe it? Or is it just a nice little fiction for you? We read in Matthew's Gospel a few minutes ago about Joseph. And Joseph, we read, doesn't believe it. Joseph is in the dark until an angel comes and explains to him what's going on. Now, it seems to me we have to be a bit sorry for Joseph, don't you think? There he is, he's engaged to his lovely girlfriend, Mary, and everything in the garden is rosy. And now she goes and gets herself pregnant. And Joseph knows the baby isn't his baby. They haven't slept together. We read before they came together, she was found to be with child. And now Mary has the nerve to make this unbelievable excuse. She says, just listen to this, she says she got pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Well, right. I mean, I've heard some far-fetched excuses, but that one really takes the biscuit, doesn't it? Found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And then some cock and bull story about an angel who told her that. Oh, please. Well, Joseph isn't going to be that naive, so he plans to do the decent thing. We read he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Engagements in first century Jewish society were much more binding than they are in our culture. It required a sort of divorce to undo an engagement. And in fact, Jewish law would have allowed Joseph to have Mary stoned to death for having sex before marriage. That's how serious all of this was. But Joseph is a kind man. Joseph really loves Mary. He's determined to hush it up. So we read, he decided to divorce her quietly. But then God sends his angel. God sends his messenger with a revelation for Joseph. That's what we read. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Well, that's what Mary had said to him. It's true. She hadn't been unfaithful. Nothing Mary had said had been able to convince Joseph, but now the angel said the same thing. Well, that put everything in a new light. Joseph had been misinterpreting the facts. Now he knew the truth. The angel had revealed the truth to him. Well, it seems to me it's quite easy to be a bit cynical about all of this, isn't it? At a distance of 2,000 years, over 2,000 years. We say to believe in a virgin birth, well, that's pretty naive. That was an age of superstition and ignorance, wasn't it? I mean, a virgin birth might have been believable in the first century, but, well, it won't wash in the 21st century. Well, I don't think we should be so superior. First century Jewish society was very sophisticated, very intelligent. They weren't stupid. They knew as well as we know that it takes a man and a woman to make a baby. So let's look a little more closely at what the angel says happened. The angel said to Joseph, "What is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit." Now, there were quite a few ancient pagan myths around about how a god came to earth and had sex with a woman and produced some sort of bizarre hybrid god-man. But that's emphatically not what's being said here. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. It's not God and Mary who conceived the baby Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who conceived the infant in Mary. No sex involved. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. We don't know how, but that's what we're told. So the baby to be born isn't half God and half man. The baby is fully God, come into this world fully as a man. Wonderful. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, the angel said, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This child was God. Now, no wonder it took an angel to convince Joseph. Joseph must have been gobsmacked. Who ever heard of such a thing? Well, nobody. It never happened before. It's never happened since. Jesus was, and is the unique Son of God. Now, that's the first revelation that the angel came to give to Joseph. The revelation that Mary was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Who's the baby? The baby is Emmanuel. He is God. But that's not all. The angel has more to tell Joseph about this baby. Listen what he says. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, many years ago, when I was a final year medical student doing obstetrics, we had to deliver, in those days, three babies to pass on and be doctors. And the first woman I sat with through her labor was a lady called Mrs. Curtin. And I sat with her for hours and hours, and we talked about all sorts of things. And at one point I said to her, "Well, you know, are you and your husband wanting a little boy or a little girl?" And she said, "Oh, we're hoping for a little girl." And I said, "And have you decided? What are you going to call her?" And she said, "We're going to call her Annette." And I said, "You can't." And she said, "Why not?" I said, "Annette Curtin?" So she was on the phone to her husband and she said, "We can't call her Annette." But they had a little boy and they called him Andrew, so that was all right. Well, we don't attach a great deal of importance to names. Not really. But in the ancient Near East, names were very, very important. The angel tells Joseph, this baby has to be called Jesus. And it's very significant. God is revealing something important about the baby who's to be born. Jesus means the Lord saves. You are to give him the name Jesus, says the angel, because he will save his people. Will save them from what? He will save his people from their sins. You see, the real enemy of men and women, the real danger for us as men and women, it's not global warming or whether the conference at Copenhagen flops or not, and it has. It's not financial meltdown like the last couple of years in the money markets. It's not war. It's not terrorism. The real enemy of us as a human race is our sin. It's our rebelliousness against God. Left to ourselves, we leave God out of our lives. We want to run our lives ourselves. That's human nature. And that's what the Bible calls sin. that we were made by God and we were made for God, and here we are, left to ourselves, trying to live our lives without God. And we can't help ourselves. We can't change ourselves. Maybe you've tried. I've tried. You tried to make yourself better? Tried to make yourself good? Are you planning to make New Year's resolutions this year? I'll spend more time with the children. I'll visit my parents more often. I'll eat fewer burgers and go to the gym twice a week. I'll stop lying to my friends about watching The X Factor. How long will your New Year's resolutions last? A week? A couple of weeks in a good year? We can't do it. We can't change ourselves. We need to be rescued. And God sent Jesus, his Son, to save us, to set us free. You are to give him the name Jesus, said the angel, because he will save his people from their sins. God's purpose in sending Jesus into the world was to save us. And that's something else we wouldn't understand unless it had been revealed to us. Here it is. Jesus saved us by dying for us. 30-odd years after the first Christmas, Jesus was going to be executed by the Roman authorities in a particularly brutal and agonizing way by crucifixion. And to the casual onlooker, it was going to look like a tragedy. It was going to look like the unjust death of a good man. But appearances are deceptive. We need to be told what was really going on. And we don't need an angel. We can read it in the Bible. Jesus died in our place, your place and mine, when we deserve God's condemnation. Jesus took the rap for us. That's why Jesus came to be born as a man. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about Christmas trees or Christmas presents or Christmas holidays, although they're all fun. It's much more, much more, much more wonderful than any of these things. It's about how God loved us so much that he was prepared to send his Son to die for us. So there we are, two things the angel revealed to Joseph. Who's the baby? The baby is Emmanuel, God with us. Why has he come? He's come to save us. Call him Jesus. Now that's all good news. Christmas is supposed to make people happy. It's supposed to, but it doesn't. Not most of the time, not in our society, not for long anyway. When I worked in a hospital casualty department, I was shocked to find that the highest rate of attempted suicide in the whole year is in the couple of weeks immediately following Christmas. There are hangovers from drinking too much. There are debts from spending too much. There are fallout from family arguments. It's back to work after the holiday, and there isn't another holiday till Easter. Christmas leaves many people in Britain disillusioned and depressed. Why? Because they misunderstand Christmas. They really don't have a clue what it's all about. They haven't listened to the angels. They haven't read it in the Bible. They've ignored God's revelation, and they're still in the dark. Well, look, don't let that be you this Christmas. Here you are in a carol service. You've heard the Christmas story again. It's good news. It was good news for Joseph, and it's good news for you as well. That's what Christmas is about. Joseph believed the angel, and he acted on what the angel said. He did keep Mary as his wife, and he did name the baby Jesus. But what about you? What about you in Christmas 2009? Could this be the Christmas you believe and the Christmas you do something about it? God himself came to this world as a man. His name was Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, came to save his people from their sins. And you see what it took to do that? The Son of God from all eternity reduced to a little baby. Think of his eyes. Just visualize. Think of it for a moment. Think of his eyes, accustomed to observe the whole earth from end to end, struggling to focus on his mother's face. Think of his fingers. Fingers which fashioned the planets and the stars in their courses, curling feebly round Mary's finger. Think of his feet, which strode the heavens in their might, and now he can't move and has to be turned in the hay by his mother. Remember his mighty word. He spoke and it was done. And here he lies speechless, because he hasn't learned to speak yet. Older than eternity, now he is new. This is the baby that came to us 2,000 years ago. This amazing, unique, tragic, wonderful baby, Jesus. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. If you're here this evening and you'd like to know more about that, this is something new to you, well, over when we have mince pies and mulled wine over in St. Philip's, there's some literature there. There's some booklets. There's some books about Christianity. There's some parts of the Bible with the fuller story of how Jesus was born and what happened after that. And you're more than welcome to just take them. They're free if you'll read them. Or come and speak to me or someone else who's brought you along. And you're most welcome to come to our Christmas service or any other service. There are details there in the back of your order of service. Well, now we're going to sing our last carol. It's a carol announcing Jesus' birth. The angels came and announced Jesus' birth. Hark, the herald angels sing.